4073, Edward Schlachtichman versus 1-800-CONTACTS, Inc.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Phil Bach for the plaintiff. The statute at issue prohibits the inclusion of certain material on a credit card receipt that's electronically printed. The plaintiff, in this case, purchased contact lenses on the Internet and received the receipt to his email.
And the court held that internet purchases weren't covered in this.
Correct.
That's the only issue before the court.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Read the
so
words.
We can narrow it down. I want to know what we're.
Okay. Right. Yeah. The words of a statute and applying dictionary definitions, and our argument, as you know, Your Honor, is that Congress in 2003 passes this act, recent statute, and they say you can't electronically print a receipt that contains this information. They intended to have a uniform national standard that applied to all transactions, and they preempt state statutes that do something else. The result of the district court's holding that it doesn't apply to internet transactions is that a face-to-face credit card purchase at the diner across the street is covered by the statute, but an internet transaction with somebody like Amazon.com isn't covered. So intrastate transactions are covered, interstate transactions aren't.
Given how common internet commerce was by 2003, when Congress passed this act, isn't it reasonable to expect that had Congress meant to include receipts sent by email for purchases made over the internet, it would have said so expressly?
I think it's reasonable to think that they were thinking about internet transactions and that if they wanted to exclude them, they would have said so expressly. So I'd answer the question with no, that if they wanted to exclude a big part of the economy, they would have said so, as opposed to saying we mean all the parts. And certainly the word print is a broad word, but because it's modified in this statute by the word electronically, it means something more than and something more technologic than the old, you know, printing with a printing press or whatever.
So why does my computer have a printer if I'm printing when I'm displaying material on the screen?
You know, only because you attached it. But you can print things to PDF. In fact, the court's brief checklist says that parties should print to PDF and upload it to the court so that the court can read it on a computer. So printing does mean something more than printing to paper. And what we're our contention is that they used a computer, they used an electronic device to print the receipt containing prohibited information to an email rather than printing it to paper.
Well, I'll grant you that there may be some use of the word print in the computer world that includes viewing a document on a computer screen, but it's hardly the most common understanding of the term. What in the statute points us, you know, to the much more modern and much broader understanding as opposed to the traditional notion of actually recording something on a piece of paper?
Two things. One would be that they use the phrase electronically print, that it says it only applies to electronically printed receipts. And the other thing would be that they specifically say it doesn't apply to something that's handwritten and it doesn't apply to something that's printed using carbon paper. Other than that, I don't think there's anything in the statute itself that says that the word print is broader than. But our argument is it doesn't say it's narrower than, and so it's a plausible construction of the statute. And it's the one that Congress intended because they were trying to have a uniform national standard. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't apply to internet transactions, and all these 50 different state laws apply. So they have a uniform standard for a transaction at diners, but a state-by-state regulation of internet transactions, you know, interstate commerce.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Coming up, Mr. Thompson.
May it please the Court. Judge Robner, you've identified the correct issue that you need to address, which is the word print has a common and ordinary understood meaning. Why in the world should we conclude that Congress meant something other than print as it's normally and commonly understood? And to answer that question, let's look first at the words of the statute, which say, no person that accepts credit cards or debit cards for the transaction of business shall print more than the last five digits of the card number or the expiration date upon any receipt provided to the cardholder at the point of the sale or the transaction. You read that, and we all know exactly what's covered by that. That means when you walk in to the grocery store and choose to buy your groceries with a credit or debit card, you will get a paper receipt, and it may not include more than the last four digits, and it may not include the expiration date. And that understanding is so well understood that literally hundreds of lawsuits have been brought, filed, contested, resolved in this country.
Have any of them reached the appellate level?
None have reached the appellate level, other than one case which rejected a District of Alabama's decision granting a motion to dismiss. The 11th Circuit said, no, you shouldn't have granted the motion to dismiss. Go back down and construe it. But there have been no circuit cases, so far as I'm aware, construing FACTA at all.
So that's being re-litigated?
The
Alabama case?
The Alabama case is proceeding. I don't know whether it's settled or what's happened on class certification, but that was just...
Was there an 11th Circuit decision?
Yes, rejecting the motion to dismiss. It's a paper receipt case. I mean, it has nothing to do with the issue that brings us here today.
Okay.
I mean, there's certainly been no circuit decisions on whether the printed receipt at the point of sale applies to Internet transactions. There have been 12 or 13.
That looked like a growth area. So,
yeah, it certainly is a growth area, and we're trying to get some understanding of that area right here.
Well, I hadn't seen any appellate rulings, but I did wonder if there were cases that have been briefed or argued before our sister circuits.
I don't believe there have been, Your Honor. Certainly not in this. Does the statute printed receipt requirement apply to wholly electronic transactions? So it's well understood, and everybody admits, that printed has its normal, common, ordinary understood meaning in this case, in this statute. The question is, should it also be given some obscure meaning, a meaning, you know, that the display on a computer screen, which is the argument plaintiff argued below in the district court that a couple district court decisions have ascribed to, and that plaintiffs argued in their opening brief on appeal. That runs into a problem that we pointed out in our brief, that it makes nonsense out of the effective date portion of the statute. Because if print means display on a computer screen, the merchant's effective date depends on when they put their machine into commerce. If the machine that's relevant is the computer display that the customer has at his home, and the merchant doesn't control that machine. So it renders meaningless the effective date. So on their reply brief, plaintiff said, no, what print means is, when the defendant gets our electronic transaction, they then generate or send an email out. And it's that generation or send that's the printing in this case. Now, I defy you or anyone to find a dictionary in which generate or transmit are listed as synonyms for the word print. You won't find that because it doesn't exist. Now, what other evidence is there that Congress intended print to have this common ordinary meaning? It's the statement of every person who participated in the drafting of this provision or the enactment of this provision. Every single person identified this provision as relating to the dangers created by dumpster diving, by people who sneak around behind you and steal your paper receipt and from that have access to your credit card. Every statement, every one we could find, and that's from the president on enactment, it's from the sponsors, it's from the witnesses who come and testify before Congress. And it was repeated in the Clarification Act in 2007. So every statement within Congress discussing why they enacted this statute says we enacted it to cover printed receipts. We don't want people to be duped into getting a receipt that has the access to their entire credit card and credit history on it to be thrown out in the garbage because they don't realize it's the key to the kingdom. Now, why shouldn't that, could Congress have intended it to apply more broadly? They could have, but they've given you zero reason to believe they did. There's not one shred of evidence. Finally, I know we're on a short schedule today. Even if you were to credit plaintiff's argument, and there's no reason to, there's no reason in the statute or the case law, even if you were, 1-800-CONTACT still wins because our interpretation of the statute is reasonable. And under the Safeco case, so long as our interpretation is reasonable, it can even be wrong, and we cannot be held willfully liable. That is, Safeco arose in the context of FCRA, the same statute we're in here, because FACTA was just a set of amendments to the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And Safeco says, even if you get it wrong, if your interpretation is reasonable, if it's not in conflict with an appellate court decision or guidance from the agencies, then you cannot be held willfully liable. We made that argument below. The district court didn't need to address it because it granted us relief under the statute. We made it here on appeal. Plaintiffs never even rebutted it in the reply brief. So there are literally 8 or 10 different ways we think we win this case. I thank you for your time.
Mr. Brock, are we being attacked?
Okay. Briefly, Your Honor. The machine that's used to generate the print, if you will, a credit card receipt to paper and or to print it to an email is basically the same thing minus the paper. Okay, so it's the same kind of computer device that's generating and reproducing the plaintiff's credit card information in a way that can be viewed and printed onto paper and this sort of thing.
Well, what about the parade of horribles that we just heard about?
The dumpster diving?
Uh-huh.
It gets worse if somebody grabs your computer out of the dumpster and it's got all these things on it. And if you happen to view the email on a public computer at Kinko's and you leave the store, it doesn't necessarily get deleted from the system or removed so somebody can see it. You know, so they're preventing the most base kind of dumpster diver, but not the technologically sophisticated kind that doesn't make sense to me. And the stuff about dumpster diving isn't inconsistent with what we're saying. On the Safeco point, the Safeco is a summary judgment case. Here there's no evidence that the defendant interpreted the statute at all to think that it doesn't apply to it. In fact, the only evidence is that they did truncate the credit card number. So they comply with the credit card number requirement of FACTA, but not the expiration date part. So there's no... You know, Safeco, they talk about the company had an interpretation and it was erroneous, but it was reasonable, blah, blah. There's no evidence here that they've interpreted the statute at all to not apply to them, okay? And also there would be, we could show a knowing violation. We don't know why they put the expiration date. It could be that they decided it was too expensive to remove it, so they leave it on there. Who cares? But we don't know at this point, so... That's all I have to say.
Well, thanks to both parties, and the case will be taken under advisement.